left a good job down in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost 1 minute of sleep, and
I was worried about the way that things might have been.
You know that big wheel keep on turning, primary keep on burning.
Monica Bill Barnes Company will be at PS21 in Chatham on Friday and Saturday night with two productions, Luster and Suddenly Summer Somewhere. Both pieces were choreographed by Monica Bill Barnes and performed by Monica and Anna Bass. Luster premiered at the American Dance Festival in July 2012, featuring themes of endurance and triumph. This duet highlights autobiographical moments of the performers who are entering their 10th year of dancing together. And Suddenly Summer Somewhere, two small women stand on top of a dining room table in silence, carefully navigating the tabletop. They send silverware crashing to the floor. Simultaneously hilarious and painful, the piece explores how the passage of time affects the collective lives of two people. It is a pleasure to welcome Monica Bill Barnes to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
A delight to have you on the program and to have you in our region this weekend. Give us an idea of how these two particular projects came about.
I've been working with Anna Bass for over 10 years now, and we've found that elements of our lives, of our touring lives, of the, you know, lives that we lead in New York as working dancers, that has become part of the fabric of the work that we do on stage. So in Luster, we actually carry on a mini proscenium arch that has a velvet red curtain. The design is based on the Metropolitan Opera House, but it's only about 6 feet tall. And there's this element of just sort of carrying the entire show on our backs. When we tour, we're traveling with suitcases full of confetti and feather headdresses and all sorts of things that are, you know, useful for our work. And so it felt like after 10 years, it was really time to make a piece about the process of being a working dancer in America right now. So these two duets are, you know, sort of deal with the ways in which our work seeps into the kind of work that we end up putting on stage. So as you mentioned, I mean, there are these autobiographical elements about, you know, what the 10 years have been like for us.
Is that what is exciting for you, or to say that in English, is that what is exciting to you, is that there is that working without a net type philosophy to the work?
Absolutely. I mean, it's what makes live performance exciting to me in general, is that really as soon as the curtain comes up and the lights go out in the audience, I mean, anything could happen. Obviously, there's a game plan, but I actually feel like some of the most thrilling performances are, you know, those moments where somebody forgets a line or the prop that you were depending on actually didn't get preset. So, you know, when you say, hey, there's the umbrella, there's absolutely nothing there. And I feel like reminding the audience that, you know, that what you're seeing in front of them is just people attempting to carry out a plan that is sort of fraught with the possibility of things not going as planned. And, you know, after doing this and being a performer for, you know, 15, 20 years, I feel like I can count on one hand the number of performances that really win off without a hitch. And that the rest of your sort of touring and performing life is about dealing with all the unexpected elements, which I think, you know, is also so mirrored in the way that most of our lives actually unfold, is that, you know, we may have had a plan about how it would all happen, but what's actually sort of interesting is what really ends up happening and how you deal with that in the moment.
Do you consider perfectionism when you decide whether a performance has gone off without a hitch or not. I mean, are you, I mean, I know for my, you know, when I think of my work, I feel that I am my harshest critic.
Right.
And hopefully that makes you ultimately better. And
yeah.
And I think when I look back, there are very few things that I think are, yes, go off without a hitch.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I think the idea of perfectionism is one that is pretty deeply embedded within the form of dance. You know, I studied right after high school at the Alvin Ailey School, and you know, and I really started to see, gosh, there are so many dancers already performing in the world who are really striving for this perfection and coming really quite close to it. And I actually sort of very purposefully decided to sort of step away from perfect or even really, for that matter, graceful or glamorous, and thought, you know what sort of feels missing is the performer that really, where it really isn't going well, where they're stumbling, where they should be balancing. And so I've built choreography around having sort of moments of failure and seeing personal flaws in the performance, that those are all choreographed in there, you know, with the hope of sort of reminding people that they're seeing a real person attempt something in front of them. And I feel like if you see it failing a bit and then you see the person sort of recover and get back, you know, back to the task at hand, that there's a way in which you become invested in that experience. So in a way, what I think what I'm hoping for is to actually have people root for us, to get behind the effort that we're making and sort of feel like they also want it to work out well, you know, and that as we're struggling, they're sort of like, it's going to be fine. You got to just sort of get up and keep going. And so in a way, what feels like a wildly successful performance to me is one where I feel like the audience has really gone through an experience with us, and that they've been, you know, really engaged throughout, and in that way also they're paying attention to the details, and they're laughing when things don't go well, and they're affected, you know, at a touching moment. And I think, you know, similarly, I would imagine to, you know, developing a radio show, that what you really want is for people to be paying attention throughout.
And also, when there are those moments where things are not going right, it also helps you appreciate when things are going right. And especially with your art form of the incredible talent that it takes in just the movement of dance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think in some ways, you know, people can get bored if it just all is beautiful. If every movement is beautiful,
right,
if every balance, every turn is landed, you know, there's a way in which, you know, it's like, I feel like in some ways it's more exciting to watch like a really high stakes Little League game than it is to watch a World Series where nobody's making an error.
Absolutely. No, and it's much like the old saying that if you go see a film and all you come out commenting on is the cinematography, then maybe something's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. So there seems to be great symbolism in a piece like Suddenly Summer Somewhere, where you have silverware crashing to the floor, that is symbolism in this work.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one thing that I work really closely with my costume and set designer, Kelly Hansen. We've been working together for about 13 years, and it's really important to me that there are physical elements in the costume design and in the scenery that are familiar. The dining room table that Anna and I begin Suddenly Summer Somewhere on top of actually for years was my husband's and my kitchen table that we would just pack up and take on the road, and he would sort of be left without a table for a week or two, and then
right,
he would, you know, reassemble it. But that it's important, I think, in that piece to really establish that this is a domestic relationship, that these are real people not performers. Whereas with Luster, you know, we walk on stage carrying our own small stage with us, and that we're in sequence, you know, sort of sequence costumes, and we are making every indication with the scenery and with the choreography that we're performers in Luster, and then in Suddenly Summer we're just people. So I find that environment, especially in dance, really helps an audience locate sort of who these people are and how we're supposed to be viewing them.
And a lot has to be said for you and what you do with Anna Bass, the fact that you've been working together so long, that partnership, any successful partnership does not come easily.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a real, I think year after year, there's a process of deciding to do this. And it's a lifestyle, it's a career that really wears people out. You know, it wears you out in the obvious ways. It's incredibly rigorous and physical, and it'll wear you out that way. But the actual lifestyle, the being in and out of town, the sort of having, you know, really irregular, sort of an irregular work schedule is one that, you know, it's hard to sort of continue to commit to that life. And she and I just sort of realized, like, gosh, it's been 10 years. I mean, for, you know, 10 times in the last 10 years, we've said, like, yes, let's keep at this. And so there's a certain level of both sort of grit and heart that I think that comes to deciding to stay in this work. And I feel so honored, you know, that she has stayed in it with me.
The Monica Bill Barnes Company will be at PS 21 in Chatham on Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. You can find out more by going to the website ps21chatham.org, ps21chatham.org. Monica Bill Barnes, thank you so much for being with us. We thank you so much for joining us on the program and obviously for being in the region. We look forward to having you.
We are so excited to be there. Thank you.
A delight. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.